家在路，你想一途就的马路不托没你撒地顿当街下给把给我那么热一浪Kor wa ma tomba du le june Rola che ki kolo kor wa dong Da jenge nam jang chu tempo ngô Sa ji pe ki chu sing me talk tam ri rab li ji ni de gyan pa de sang ye jing du mi te u Lama Dampa Kienam Kiche Kukala Kente Chujinti Chita Zampe Duje Zima Lazab Geche Ki Chapa Wap Tu Sir Idam Guru Ratamandala Kamiryatayami. Now let's turn to the green pages and recite the praises to the 21 Taras. From your sublime abode at the Potala, O Tara born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara, you who rescue all who are destitute. To you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. O my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator, homage Tara swift heroic, eyes like lightning instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord with three rose turbone lotus, homage she whose face combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with white rays resplendent as a thousand star collection, homage golden blue and lotus, water born in hand adorned, giving effort austerities, patience meditation, meditation, her sphere, homage crown of Tathagatas, action triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection, homage filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with their feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth on beings, homage worshipped by the All Lord, Shaka Ani Bamamaru, honored by the host of spirits, corpses, there's Gandhava's Yakshas, use their tre and pay sounds, just showing false magic diagrams, her free pressing left out right and blazing in a raging fireblaze. Homage to the very dreadful destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who was slayer of all enemies. Homage at the heart her fingers, adorn her with three jewel mudra, wiry masses all excited, all directions who adorn her. Homage she so joyous radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, mirthful laughing with Tutare, subject gating Mara's Davis. Homage she able to summon all Earth Guardians assembly, shaking frowning with a home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage crown adorned crescent, moon on ornament slow shining, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out much light eternal. Homage she with wreath ablaze like eon denning fire abiding, Seven joints around you, troops of enemies destroying. I'm a she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. I'm a happy, virtuous, peaceful, she whose field is peace, nirvana. She endowed with om and soha, destroyer of the great evil. I'm a she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder, freezes human knowledge mantra, orange mother of the ten letters. I'm a today with seed letter of the shape of syllable whom five foot something shakes his three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya. Homage holding in her hand the hair mic wound of Deva like form, with my spoken Tara and Pe, totally dispelling poison. Homage she whom God send their king, send the Kinnaras to honor. Armored in our joyful splendor, she dispels bad dreams and conflicts. Homage she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with twice Hara and two Tare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage full of liberating power by the set of three natures, Trisurasosa spirit yakshas, and race corpses supreme today. These praises with the root mantras and prostrations of Sar 21. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering it at dawn upon waking and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled, and all obstacles pacify. So let's read the mind training, accepting difficulties as a path, on the first base sheet. And just so you know, I hope everyone has picked up a silver prayer book, because we'll be doing the Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga as soon as Geshe-la sits down. Page 22 in the book and page 7 in the booklet. So accepting difficulties as a path. Even if the environment and beings are filled with the fruits of negativity and unwished for sufferings pour down like rain, I seek your blessings to take these miserable conditions as a path by seeing them as causes to exhaust the results of my negative karma. In short, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad, I seek your blessings to transform them into a path, increasing the two bodhicittas to the practice of the five forces, the quintessence of the entire Dharma, and thus to meditate only on mental happiness. I'd like to read the prayer list, since we don't say it at, say dedication at the end together. Prayers for happy rebirth, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, Venerable Sophia Sue, Frank Ferreira, Kathleen Fleming, Herbert Greaves, Allison Haar, Sam Rainey, Mamie Stark, Barney the dog, Chelsea the cat, Ivy the dog, Kook the cat, Mikey the dog, Oakley the dog, Job Search, Daniel Dimitrov, Prayers for Health and Well-Being, Chabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Bobby and Laurie, Wayne Brannon, Susan Daniel, Mildred Gooch, Allison Haar's family, Ken and Annie Hassel, Sharon Hill, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Shelley Miller, Ian Mahler, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, Chuck and Faye Renard, Jason Lee Roman, Ruben Family, Dr. Albert Sants, Rosemary Cease, Barbara Sloan, Maria Stallnaker, David Allen Swanger, Mike Truffer and Sue Clifton, Dion Washington, Kathy Wormser, Judith Wormser, Betsy Yop, Scooby the Dog, Teddy the Dog. You who emanate from the heart of the Savior of the 100 Devas' joyful realm, on the peak of a cloud water holder resembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd, the King of Dharma, omniscient Losang Drapa, with your sons, I request you to come to this place. In the sky before me, on a lion throne, lotus and moon disc, the perfect pure Lama smiles with delight. Supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion, I beg you to abide for 100 eons to increase the teachings. Your holy mind understands the full extent of objects to be known. Your eloquent speech is the ear ornament of the fortunate ones. Your holy body is glowing and glorious with fame. To you who is meaningful to see, hear, and remember, I prostrate. Beautiful drinking water, various arranged flowers, fragrant incense, light, scented water, and so forth, actually performed and mentally transformed oceans of clouds of offerings, I offer to you the supreme field of merit. Whatever non-virtues of body, speech, and mind, and especially actions opposite to the three vows that I have created from beginningless time, from the bottom of my heart, I regret and fervently confess them all individually. In this time of the five degenerations, you strove for many listenings and realizations and made meaningful the perfect human rebirth by renouncing the eight worldly concerns and this Savior's extensive deeds. I rejoice sincerely from the depths of my heart. Please, holy, perfect, pure gurus, from billowed clouds of compassion and wisdom in the sky of Dharmakaya, make rainfalls of profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the ears of sentient beings or the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losang Drapa to shine forever. So I turn the page to the bottom, page 26, or page 13 in the booklet, and let's recite 21 of the Five Line Prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa, and I'll chant out loud the 21st one. Meek me te we te chen chen re sik li me kem pe wam po jam pe yang kan chen ke pe tu page 34. And let's read the second stanza of the dedication. It's on page 21 of the booklet. In all my life throughout, through the victorious one, Lama Tsongkhapa, acting in person as a Mahayana guru, may I never turn aside for even an instant from the excellent path praised by the victorious ones.
Good afternoon or good evening. Good evening, yeah. Good evening. How are you? Good, all right. All right. So I think this last question, I think it's too difficult for Sunday class. I think this is about emptiness, so I just skip the questions. It seems like that this question has been asked from somebody who looks like who's meditating on emptiness. So probably I will read this here, okay? So then maybe so when you go home, then you can think up a little bit. It is considered that the I or senses of me is neither body nor mind. According to teaching, that's correct. That's all I can say. emptiness of the eye. So, the eye or the sense of me is neither body nor mind. So, I'm not sure in the bracket it says emptiness of eye. So, the eye is. Neither body nor mind. That's correct, but that's not the emptiness of mind. That is not the emptiness of mind, okay? That is not the emptiness of mind. That itself is not emptiness at all. But when I sit on meditations and try to verify that this is a true I, this is a true I, maybe you like my reading is not good. Not sure how to stop the
It is considered that the I or sense of me is neither the body nor the mind, emptiness of the I, but when I sit on meditation and try to verify that this is true, I can see that the I is created only when I think of it. So I end up having the sensation that the I is just a thought, therefore is created by our mind, and therefore it is our mind. Is this true?
That's not true. So that's it. He's saying the eye is created by mind?
Yes, just when he thinks about it.
Just whoever is asking these questions probably would need to read that book called So she was there are a number of texts that are composed by Nagarjuna. So that text needs to be read, carefully read. And there are a number of stanzas. So easiest way to that's not easy way to think, but relatively it's like easy way to think like when we say my body, that kind of differentiate. They're kind of like just that word when you see my body, that means self is kind of separate. It's not the body. That kind of you understand when you say otherwise you can't say my body, that's like distinguish. When you say my body, that clearly indicates the body is not you. So then you say nasim nagdu, means something. You say my mind, there's a lot of pain in my mind. Let's say in Tibet we say sim nagdu, means my mind's aching. So that clearly shows the mind is not the self. That the self is the one who is saying it. There's not the mind is not the self. So there are way to analyze thoroughly, all the elements that possess my body, then including the consciousness, so going through each of them, so feelings, each of them. So, when you say, my body, so there's a sense of I, right? When you say my body, there's a sense of I, there's more than me. You can only say my if there's I, then you can say my. If there's no I, you cannot say my. So when you say my body, that's the I is from saying my body. So that's so then, so that moment is, then you, but we need to analyze, that sense of I, it's not body, it's not the mind. When you say my mind is not doing very well, there's a lot of ache or pain in my mind, that clearly shows, and that moment, but I do exist, what you call mere I. Because this is including the consciousness, then top of that, four, five aggregate. The self is level on those. These are the base. Base can be self. That's why I'm asking, whoever's asking these questions, it was good to read, some of the Nagarjuna's book. And also, there's Chandrakriti's books, because the one's called Fundamental. Yeah, called Sawasharap. Very good. So then from the Chandrakritis as a Madhyamaka Avatara, the middle way, that's called Madhyamaka Avatara, that text. So then need to read that together. So there are number of ways you can analyze through analytical meditations. Then you said Kibus, self, is not the it's not earth elements. That means this solid body, this kind of an earth element. Kibusami chuma, this is not liquid. Maybe it's not heat. It's not the oxygen you breathe. It's not the space, it's not the consciousness. Then you say, what is self? So you can't find self, you can't find self not depending on the aggregate, but the aggregate is not self. There's five aggregate, then you end up saying, oh, there's five self. Actually, there's no five, so there's only one self. So, now, the way we perceive self is, there's a conventional self that do exist. but that's the self that has been exaggerated. That does not exist. So this is not like how it's... So if the self is not all of them, then what is self? So there's like the collection of those aggregates, then you call self. But actually it's not self. Why is not self? We say when you say, my, you know, I'm not feeling good, you know, like emotionally, that clearly indicates that some emotions you are, this is not self. You know, so say, same nagidu means same is mind. Nam is, you know, kind of sick. When somebody says, not really crazy, but it's not talking about nuts. It's not about being nuts, you know, it's not of that. Same, sometimes, you know, there's pain, because like there's inside the, same, you know, so there's a negative, means mind is sick, so that means there's no like huge problems that happen in your life. So then it goes deep in your heart or mind, then you're saying that means, you know, they clearly shows the self is not the mind. So you can't say, you know, mind is hurting. If your mind is self, you can say that. So, so that's kind of tricky. So, I think Jeffrey Hopkins wrote a couple of books. George Dreyfus, you know, he's very good because he studied long, many, many years back in the monastery. So good to read George Dreyfus' books, you know. Then, of course, His Holiness Dalai Lama books, emptiness, you know. So usually I summarize, what you see is not what it is. What you don't see is what it was. So this, I think that's my summary of emptiness. What you see, when it's come down self, what you see, that's not real self. What you don't see, you know, that's kind of self. So so now I think, you know, I really appreciate that you are doing meditation on emptiness. It's very important to learn. So loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta requires a lot of, you know, practical practice. Emptiness requires a lot of meditations, you know. So relatively, emptiness is too easy to understand than developing compassion and, you know, compassion, loving kindness, bodhicitta. Understanding emptiness is quite difficult, but understanding of bodhicitta, loving kindness, compassion is easy. But when you come down to practical level, emptiness is much easier to see than developing compassion, loving kindness, bodhicitta. So what is called there, like number of like syllogism, something like say there's number of syllogisms. So first you will understand emptiness through conceptual thought. So then you meditate, then you know, eventually that conceptual thought will become, you know, will able to see emptiness directly. So you know, first you just understand emptiness by knowledge. So then slowly, you know, more you meditate. I think that's all I can say, probably, you know. So what you see is not what it is, what you don't see is what it was, something like that. So emptiness does not mean something, emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means something very profound that we don't know. I don't know. I'm not a Christian, say we don't know. I don't know. So so then when you read the books, I'm more than happy to sit down with you, go through the books, then we'll talk. There's like syllogism. There's syllogism. For example, if you're seeing the very distant on the mountain, if you're seeing some smoke on that mountain, if there's fire, you can see. So then, you know, there are like, probably there's like three persons here. One person is wondering, is there fire on the mountains? Because there's smoke, you know, so not sure. That's called, one person is wondering, not sure. Then another person, you know, like, there's three persons involved. Another person wondering, then you say to, not the person who's wondering, you say to someone else, okay, there is fire because there's smoke. So eventually the third person will, oh, and they say, for example, kitchens, no, not here, not American kitchen, the Nepali kitchen. American kitchen, no smoke. You can't say there's smoke because there's smoke alarm. You know, so you can say that. There's not. So actually, they are like, you know, circles. They're like one, two, three, the three circles. Then there's one small circle, then there's another small circle. So that's how we taught in the monastery. So there's the top of the mountains. You have, if there's water, you cannot see. Then you say, if someone's wondering, there's water, you know, because a lot of geese is like, I say, flying around, you know, circling around, not just one time, quite a time. There's some, oh, there's water because there's, you know, geese are there circling around there. So then if you, more like, that's called syllogism, you know, syllogism. So in the night, in the ocean, you look, you see kind of stream. If you wonder, there's smoke, then you say, oh, there's no smoke, there's no fire. Then, you know, that's called syllogism. So there's a number of that. So that, I think, studying the Chandrakuti's books, the middle way, Madhyamaka Avatara, there's like detailed explanations there. So that all this coming from Nagarjuna's book, Fundamental, the wisdom of the Madhyamaka Avatara called Tavasharap. So then, you know, then you read them together. You know? So then I think more discussion has been also needed. You know? That's called selflessness of phenomena, then the selflessness of self. So when you meditate, you begin your meditation, begin with the self, not with the table, not like that, no, so you begin with that. Relatively, it's easier to see emptiness within the self than, you know, like other, beside other phenomena. So I'm not going to read this, what is the questions in the Sunday. No, I think it's too difficult. Okay. Oh, yeah. Do you mind if I read one more question? Do you mind? So here, you know, people are more profound. More advanced, more profound. You know? Well, this is related to the karma, so this question is related to karma. You have said in the class that people in the West must have generated much, much good karma to live in such a wealthy society. How does this fit with our history, colonisms of poorer nations, slavery, of the genocide of Native Americans? Doesn't it seem like this wealth was generated by improper means? So how can we know, as individuals, feel good about benefiting from some of this negative practice that generated so much well in this country, sir. So, donation, sir. So in each and every country, there's histories, no? There's histories, no? Like, history is, no, not always perfect, always, no, there's problem, not just America, everywhere there's problem. So, maybe some donations, please. Yeah. Or I will read Lamrim book.
I have an idea on that.
Yeah, please go.
Of course. So I understand the question, but I think it's still an individual thing. I was born in this country. Well, the history of America had some bad things to it, I didn't do those.
Mm.
And so I choose to not continue those. I vote the way I vote because I don't want that to happen again. I try to do the things to help because I don't want these bad things to happen. But I was born in a country that gives me that choice to do good things with my life and to try to do good things for others.
Mm.
If I was born in a country where I didn't have these opportunities, so it's still very wonderful to be born in America because we are given more opportunities than most other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And what we choose to do with it is our choice.
Mm. Very good, yeah, makes sense, perfectly makes sense, yeah. Wonderful, yeah. So that's why we are listening very seriously. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Well, I go back, you know, to, you know, the pilgrims, and there was a lot of religious persecution in Europe. The Spanish Inquisition and all the other things that were happening in all over, and in England and Germany and the Netherlands and so forth. And so that's why people came to find religious freedom. And of course, there was a break with England to have freedom from taxes and so forth. So I think in general, and of course there was the Civil War, which they say was really an economic war, you know, to free the slaves. So I think that maybe there were quite a few people who believed in the abolition of slavery, not just an economic thing. So I think that in general, the American people have been, you know, have done its share of giving, welcoming immigrants and helping people with religious freedom and freedom to do many things. Freedom for women to vote, suffrage, that was really slow in many of the countries, even, for example, in Japan. After, it wasn't until General MacArthur came, and he gave back, he completely overhauled the feudal system in Japan. And, I mean, there were people who were not allowed to have own land, and he just broke it all up into pieces, and so there were no more of these huge landlords and so forth, so that people were given equal opportunity to own land, and women were able to vote and so forth. So I think many people, you know, don't realize that even today there are people who, many countries and religions who frown on women being able to go to school. I mean, there is lots of, you can see that in the news, you know, women being beaten up in, and I think by the Taliban, because they weren't allowed to go to school or teach and so forth. So I think we have really championed religious freedom, equal rights for people. During the World War II, a lot of the Japanese Americans were incarcerated in concentration camps. But then I think George Bush came and the first George Bush, the president, he actually sent letters to each person and asked them, you know, what was taken care of, away from them during World War II, and he actually restored, you know, gave money. Like my father lost everything, and he also got some money back from the American government for the loss he had during World War II. I just can't imagine other things like that happening, you know. So I think that whenever there's, you know, like countries that have problems with natural disasters or whatever, you know, dictatorship or so forth, it seems like the United States is always first there to try to help send aid. You know, there's UNICEF. There's all sorts of organizations that have cropped up You know, I think the Americans are champions of charity and so forth. So I think that it wasn't just something that happened in the past. I think we're doing it now, too. That's just my sense.
You can make an argument that says, to him, I have the privileges of a better economic life that allows me to come to the Dhamma Center and learn Dharma and make choices about trying to learn about Dharma and becoming more of a person who's trying to be a bodhisattva. One of the reasons I can do that is because I am part of a privileged class, being white. Okay? So the question, and I think that's a true statement in the United States, right? But the question is, from the questioner's point of view, could be, how does the fact that that is probably true, I have these privileges to come and time to do this, how does that fit by the fact that other people didn't get those privileges, and I have that history, how does that fit with my own personal karma?
Joe, there's a question?
Yeah, that might be.
Okay. I'm not able to.
What is happening to me today is the result of all the decisions and actions that I've taken in the past.
Mm. So, yeah, more donations, because I'm not able to answer the first question. Then he will give another question to do. Yeah.
I would just wonder, is there a national karma, or is it really just the karma of the individuals and all the sentient beings who are here now?
That now is starting to getting quite complicated. So Tibet, we lost our countries, like 1959. There are problems. Before 1959, there are problems in Tibet. There are no problems. So there's no perfect world. Even the Buddha Dhamma is flourishing the countries like Tibet. Still, there are problems. There are animals dying, So there are people eating animals, So there's no perfect world. There are people fighting each other, for different reasons. So then after 1959, before 1959, some people, doing very well, enjoying probably the most expensive Western wine, in the special days, so some people, still having real difficulties. So then after 1959, everything's upside down, So almost every Tibetan people, they believe, that's like our karma, and the karma, it is very complicated subject, it's not that easy, karma, understood karma. So if somebody's thinking for just this life, it's very, very difficult to summarize all this life experience that you are going through, that other people are going through in this life, to try to summarize that into karma teachings. It's very complicated. Because, especially in the Western world, because majority of the people is very much scientific-minded. And there's just the example that I use. because of this, tragedies, almost like the health happened on the earth, like Tibet, like that. It's like, compared to what happened in this country, I'm not sure which one's much worse. Tibet or here, I'm not sure, So anyway, that's very tragic, a lot of people say, why it happened in Tibet? Because everybody practices Buddhism. This is one of the more peaceful countries on earth. Why doesn't it happen? It goes on and on and on and on. you don't get any answer. I don't think you get any answer. It goes on and on. So because of that, you know, a lot of Tibetan people escaped from Tibet. So now they're getting this all kind of opportunity, you know, to say that if Tibet is like that, you know, probably His Holiness will not come to the West. So there are so many good things that happened, you know. And because of the people from the West, they can able to help them, educate them. There's so many help they can provide because they need help. They just come escape from Tibet. So many good things, you know, that happens. And similarly, similarly with American history, there are so many bad things happen. And that's like, compared to Tibet, it's quite new. Like, you are talking about within 200 years. Everything happened so fast, and everything changed so fast. No, the bad things happen in this country. So because of that experience, you know, so a lot of people, they learn, they don't know, they're making sure, you know, those things doesn't repeat, and not just that, you know, try to heal, you know, talking to people and try to, still people are walking, you know, there are still problems. People are, you know, also walking towards, especially the young people, they're more open-minded, you know, they're, you know, like, you know, so much has been healed within a short period of time. So much been healed, but you know, it's still probably, you know, there's a lot of other work needs to be done. So, and I think now, because of this bad experience, you know, people learn something, they gain some wisdoms, and so much good come out of that. Not because itself is good. You know, itself, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, it's like a lot of people, out of 6 million Tibetan people, 1.2 million Tibetan people die. So there's so much money has been destroyed, you know. So if you just think about that and that, so nothing really good comes, there's no good comes out of that. So now what is that? According to the gentleman's questions, you know, there could be what you call a commonly collected, you know, actions. So that's why it's powerful. That's why, you know, when like group of people get together, meditate, it's become powerful because they're creating like pool of energies. The group of people, they get together doing something negative, that also create a pool of negative energy. So there will be consequences. So much, you know, change has been, you know, then as Lamula said, you know, like, so according to Buddhism, whenever you remember certain things like that, what do? You say a prayer, you try to purify them. You know, you don't just say it's negative, you know, then you try to use that as, you know, as a, to learn something. You know. So then you have wish, you know, that this thing doesn't happen again, then you make, you know, wish or prayer, something like that. So there are, you know, according to karma teaching, there are, you know, collective karma, such as environment. That's what I'm saying. You know, here, people, there you created, you know, very powerful collective positive energy, karma, to have, you know, this nice road, nice park, clean, you know, air, you know, water, you know. Like, so when you go to, like, India, Nepal, China, you know, you see, you know, people, the air they're breathing in. So there's, like, that's how we explain as a like non-theistic religion. That's how you explain, you know. So then, theistic religions, you know, so then everything is created by God, whether it's good or bad, you know. So, and because of the teaching of emptiness, that, you know, the creator concept doesn't fit very well with the teaching of emptiness. So because of that, you know, we say that's like the karma, that's everybody should be very, very careful, you know, to aware, you know, so about their own actions, you know, so like, and, so, Chula, you want to say something? No? So, maybe I'm not, so that's like, how you say, yeah, it's amazing that the world is still here. It's amazing the world is still here, you know, because there are 6 billion human beings, then plus all these animals, you know. These 6 billion human beings functioning 6 billion different consciousness, functioning according to Buddhist teaching, functioning totally based on their karma. So we have no clue. So I think, no, it's amazing that all has not been destroyed. You know, there is still there are people, you know, having good time, you know, like thinking about past, you know, to change, you know. So it's quite amazing, you know. So that's how, can you imagine how many different karmas is involved on our planet, you know. So His Holiness Dalai Lama is optimistic, you know, that the world is going to get better. That's His Holiness, you know. So there's a number of guys, one very famous anchor interview His Holiness and many different religious leaders. His Holiness is optimistic. Now people are more talking about environment protections, animal rights, you know, women's rights, you know, racial, you know, discriminations, you know. 100 years ago, you can't talk about that. It has changed, you know. It's changed. So I think, you know, probably, you know, slowly, there will be more good people there. They open their heart, you know, so then things will probably change, you know. So we all send our best wish. Okay, so now probably, Shula, you want to say something? Yeah, please go. So then after that I will read.
Well, in terms of this question, thinking about how in this current package, I was born in the U.S. and I'm American and they're all the traits that, you know, I label as me. But this Mindstream was a different package before this and before many different ones. And so, according to the question, to sort of feel like there's some Americanness about my life in a bigger sense. It seems like that's wrong, because who knows what other packages I've been. And so clearly, if time's beginningless, I've raped and pillaged and killed and done terrible things, whether it was in the U.S. or somewhere else, you know. But also I've probably done some very good things, because it's truly amazing the opportunities that we all have now. So I think if you take that bigger view, it becomes much less about whether America's good or bad or what's happened here, because clearly we've all done good and bad things, but right now we've got some really positive karma ripening or we wouldn't be meeting the teachings.
Yeah. So anyway, so whoever asked the questions, no, thank you very much. So I think whenever there's difficult questions, I seek donations. No donations. If the easy question, I just say, if there's a difficult question, you know, this question is, you know, probably, you know, coming from heart. So more discussion be needed, you know. More discussion, okay? So I better read some, because this class is once a week, so I better read some pages, okay? Otherwise, it will take probably not eon, but it will at least will take 5 years to finish. If you ever don't read. So last Wednesday class, what we know, as I said, each one of us has responsibilities. This very important piece of information has been said, taught by Shakyamuni, historical Buddha. Then after that, it repeatedly said in many books, said, the precious human life. So each one of us has responsibility how to get that message close to, to other people in secular way, you know. So how to educate them to see, you know. So the precious human life. After that, there's the second topic. First topic is, guru devotion. We completed that. Second topic, is most important, to think as to daily basis, the preciousness of this life. So then there's no ways to explain this, why it's so precious. You then, based on that, what else you can add on to make sure that people understand. So make sure they don't ruin their life, make sure they don't, abuse their life, So as I said, if you took initiations, they're like not just damaging the vow, it's like breaking the vow from the root. That means you are going to lose your vows, looking down. So this is something that, I think, that I said, practicing Dharma means, you know, thinking positive. So that's the way to enjoy our life. That's what I mean. You know? We have to enjoy our life. So, because why? Because it has limit. So why you just live miserable life doesn't make sense. Having this precious life, why you make, you know, live this life? So now, certain problems, you know, this is, as I mentioned last time, the, because we get headache, because we have head. If you don't have head, you can talk about headache. There will be no headache, you know. So because of mind, we get happy. Because of mind, we get sad. Because of mind, we suffer, you know. So because of the mind, you know, we get happy. So that's good thing, not because of the mind we always suffer, just because of mind. Because of mind, then we can think something good. Because of mind, we think something negative, and we do something negative. Then we regret. Then when you remember, you don't feel good. Then you don't purify, means you don't regret, and you don't make promise that from now on, I will not repeat this. We don't, it's called four power to purify. We don't follow them. You know, it's already there. So, life needs to be, how is it, enjoy. That's the first word. Then, as I said, you know, Sunday is very important. It doesn't stop there. The second, like, when I said enjoy, that means no more positive thought. I think that's truly the best way to enjoy your life. So, that enjoyment will, you know, so that enjoyment will last longer, not very much depend on external object. It's quite depends on internal world, in like mind. So needs to think good. Why? Because you have mind, you have this precious human life. So make sure you don't live with this precious human life with miserable life, because it's a limit. That limit has unknown. Uncertainty, unknown. So because of that, enjoy now. Why? Because this limit is unknown, uncertainty. So then when I should think good, you can just wait for tomorrow, next week, right now. No. This could be the last moment. So then you need to just think good. Why you need to just think good? Because the final destination will come. It's a matter of time. When it comes, nothing matters. Just good thought, that's the only thing that matters. Also, I mean, that's trying to, how you say, summarize the impermanent teachings into these three points. Try to summarize, you know, in a secular way, you know, to based on day-to-day reality. So the explanation that's given in Lamrim teaching is very much based on, you know, as the Dharma teachings. Of course, the Lamrim has been taught 650 years ago by Lama Tsongkhapa in Tibet, 650 years ago. So, then police, you know, like all of us, okay, how to, first to help ourselves, you know, how to think good about. So then, in order to gain experiential, I say, yin jur ginyuwa means, no, yin jur means, it kind of shooks your mind, or heart, when you think about something, it kind of shooks your heart, rather than just, yin jur ginyuwa means experience that kind of moves your heart. So that requires, you know, as a familiarity, that means that you think about, not just, oh, when weather's nice, you don't think about precious human life. When weather's kind of cloudy, kind of like raining, kind of, then you think about precious human life. That's not this. Precious human life is something that we all should think every day, okay? So then, with the familiarities, then there will be like experience like that moves your heart, you know, when you think about precious human life. So I think this is very important. So that's how the Lama has been taught. Month-long retreat. You go there, you stay there 1 month. The Lama teach Lamrim. Then you go back. Each topic that Lama teach, then you go back, then you meditate. You think about it. You meditate. Next you come, Lama will repeat it, some case three times. It repeats three times to make sure that you understand. Then we'll move to the next topic. So then Lama explains, then you go back, then you think about that, you meditate. That's how then, when the Lamrim teaching is finished, Lamrim retreat has been done with the teachings. Because they go back, then they meditate, no, they think about that. Because scholar has a nyungti, that means like, you know, so this is not really nyungti because I don't have any experience. Nyung means experience, I don't have any experience. So that's called nyungti, then, you know, giving teaching through experience, you know, the meditations on each topic. Oh yeah, so now here, like, the section we are in is like, Tanjo Tenchewa Samba. How to think about this life is meaningful. This is very important. Time to time you see people, they say, they have tons of money. They drive Mercedes. They have business. So that tells you, no, they don't see, they don't have to work much because they have quite a bit of money. So they are not working very hard. And comes to you, then tells you, okay, Gisela, I don't see, my life has no meaning. So, and it's quite difficult to help right there. So how you can help them, you know. So sometimes, you know, that people, they say, okay, no meaning because means doing nothing. Nothing is doing business, but, you know, that doesn't count. It's just making money. So doing nothing is not really helping. No, like I think like, you know, like physically, you know, maybe building house, that's maybe meaningful. Or maybe feeding people, you know, that's maybe meaningful. Maybe going to somewhere, you know. So then people think, okay, maybe I should go, you know, somewhere to make my life more meaningful. So Tibet, you know, Tibetan people, they don't travel much. First of all, they don't have much money. Before 1950, they don't travel, you know. So meaningful life doesn't mean, you know, you go somewhere else. Of course, you know, if you go somewhere else, you know, it's easier to help. People are more appreciative because they have very little. So people, you see more smile, you know, less lawsuit. less rules, you know. Less worry because, you know, nobody's going to sue you because people have no idea how to sue. No, so that doesn't mean, if you sue, you are going to get nothing. That's nothing to get. So, you know, maybe people feel some kind of relief that maybe, you know, and, you know, giving one piece of candy, children can smile, you know. In this country, it's very difficult to, you know, like, please people materially because, you know, you have so much, you know, so not easy. So anyway, so, when, you know, like, so now here, this is something different. This is something new for you, for your ears. Tanjos, you know, that's a precious human life. How to Tanjo Tenchewa Samba. Tenchewa means meaningful. How to think this life is meaningful. So that's what we're going to read, okay? I think Milarepa never felt that his life is meaningless. You know, so Milarepa, most of the time he's spent in the wilderness, in the cave, middle of nowhere. So he's not able to feed anybody. He's not able to build, you know. He did build 9-story building. That's it. Almost killed him. So it's all relative, you know. Tall is not the ultimate tall, because it's tall because compared to short. That's tall. Short is short because that's compared to tall is short. There's no ultimate short or ultimate, you know, tall. So similar, there's not, you know, the meaningful is also, I think, relatives. Everything's, you know, relatives, interdependent relatives. So this is something new, so I'll stop talking. So this is, you know, so let me read this. So whole point is how to think this life is, rather than just thinking, oh, meaningless, how to think this. Meaningful, meaningless, according to Lamrim teaching, is not based on how much you do and how much you don't do. It's not based on that. Okay? Indeed, there was you do which is over this. How to think about this life, personal life is meaningful. Indeed, there was Tenjideva, ultimate happiness, refers to Buddhahood, enlightenment. Tenjideva. Drubhe chido, chue namda drubha shik machuna, chue namda shi drubha, chue namda drubha shi machuna, machuna shi, machi tsunje shi deva drubha, dunga sewa, tsunba samla, tsunba, dunga sewa, samla, tsunba ni tundro la yubi, tundro jeja, tundro dan dade, lubri nis. So now I'm saying animals, you know, so when we look at, you know, they also, they don't get married, but, you know, they also have father, mother, they also have family, children, you know. They also know how to raise children. They also know how to, you know, live in the communities, you know. They take turns, some of them, you know, babysit, some of them, you know, watch who's coming inside their territory, some of them go to get food, some of them make a house, you know. So there are some animals, you know, they also have social life. They also have, you know, leaders, you know. So they, so I'm not sure they vote for leader or not, but they have leaders. So, so it's really, you know, like this also. There's one turtles. That's huge, like living under the water. Open the mouth, you know, kind of his tongues get split. And act like warm. Just move like that. The fish gets, you know, tricked by that. And when fish comes, really, you know, something, you know, because that each being has ways to get food. So there's no trick. So anyway, so it sounds like a little bit harsh, you know, but, you know, we should live in either. As a Dharma friend, all of you are my friend, you know, as a Dharma friend. So maybe this is important piece of message, you know, so we should pay attention. They are saying, Chö Namda, okay, now Chö is Dharma. Namda means pure Dharma. So what do you think, what is pure Dharma? Reading a Lamrim? No. What is pure? This question needs to be asked to ourselves. What is pure Dharma? According to Lama Tsongkhapa, probably summarized in this one stanza, Sambhasana, if the mind is good, Sambhasana is mind. If the mind is good, Satana, then the ground and the path will be good. Sambhagena, if the mind is not good, then the ground and the path will be not good. No? Sambhasana, that's one of the, I think, mind training text taught by Lama Tsongkhapa, Sambhasana, positive karma, negative karma is dependent on the mind. If the mind is good, everything, ground, if you are practicing ground and path, you know, then it's going to be good. If the mind is not good, then it's going to be negative. Therefore, Pamje Sambhadana Ralesus, therefore, everything is dependent on the mind. So everything is dependent on mind. So now what is here say Chö Namda Pure Dharma. Chö Namda Shik Namda Dhruva Shik Machuna. If you cannot practice pure Dharma in this life, if this life, precious life, slip through your hand, not able to do pure Dharma, then that's considered as a waste. So then if that's how the life is going to go, how our precious life slips through our hand, so then that precious life, there's no difference between animal and that precious life, because animal also know how to feed, how to keep, know how to do the same thing. It's the only, you know, they don't like, they also know how to live. So now the question, what is pure Dharma? What is pure Dharma? Two different minds can arise simultaneously, because that's the nature of mind, you know. Water and the fire cannot survive together. So similarly, there's like a couple of them like that. So true Dharma, pure Dharma, Chö Namda Dhruvashi Machuna. So now it looks like it comes down to the qualities, rather than the quantities. It comes down to the qualities. It's not the physical quality, it's the mental qualities. It's come down to mental qualities. So therefore, loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta, all these, you know, positive qualities. You know, these are pure Dharma. Compassion, no question, is pure Dharma. Love, that's pure Dharma. Universal love. You know, universal love has to begin from something, you know. So say, wanting to, every being wanting to be happy, that love has to start from something. That's why I mentioned just like last time. First, you practice with your family, your loved one. If your loved one is not, has a loving kindness with the loved one is not, if the loved one is not enjoying or not having good time, then you contribute to that, have good times. That's called loving kindness. Compassion, if your loved one, close one is going through difficulties, then you liberate them from there. So then, you know, not just one time, you know, like, how to call, you know, so with a sweetheart, honey, sweetheart, you know. So when there's something goes wrong, there's no sweetheart, there's no honey. Everything becomes lemon. It's a very beautiful word, you know, sweetheart, honey. So, so then I was wondering, why don't people don't call cheesecake? You call honey. So anyway, so this is all good. So it's not, make sure that doesn't, it's not, make sure it's not just word. When you say, it's not just word, you know. So then, you know, then so that's why, you know, the loving kindness has to begin from family, close one, friend one, how to say, the friends, you know, say probably bigger, it's like friend, then that includes close one, loved one, everything. So then slowly transform that to strangers. So then to enemies, then it's become universal. It's not going to become universal right from the beginning. It's impossible. You know, so we, that's the goal, to reach, you know, universal loving kindness, but it has to start from, starting from the enemy. It's like then I say bringing back somebody who's dead 10 years ago, then try to bring them back. It's the same difficult as that. It's not easy. So you begin with somebody. So then, you know, there's a lot of challenge. You know, constant mindfulness needed. Otherwise, you know, there's always that challenge, you know, like say, even the loved one, close one, friend, you know, there's also challenge, you know. There's mind, there's so many different types of minds that could arise, you know. Jealousy, injustice, has not fairness, not being fair. Like, you know, as long as, you know, my friend does all the laundry, so I call him sweetheart, honey. One day when she or he asks me to do laundry, so then I will tell him that we have to have serious meetings. So, you know, so, and things like that, you know, so like that, the, always depending, you know, like then, you know, it's like, opinions, beyond that ego, beyond that ignorance, there's no wisdom. Opinions backed by ego backed by ignorance. That's why I call fundamental confusions. There's no wisdom. You know? So then say wisdom without compassion is become trap. Same wisdom with compassion liberates. Compassion without wisdom become trap. Even this compassion is trap, it is going to be, you are going to trap. Compassion with wisdom liberates. So you know, it's constant effort needed. Progress in the mind, that takes a long time. So we shouldn't ever feel discouraged, because changing, the inner change, you know, takes lot of, you know, like as a, it takes effort. You know, it won't come automatically. It takes effort. You know, so that's why, you know, the text is mentioned, not here. The text is mentioned. See, whenever you hear sound after you've done some practice, or now then after that, you are supposed to visualize everything that you see is enlightened beings. That's not the mention. Every sound you hear is like mantra. Wonderful. If you can do this, wonderful. There will be no problems, you know. It's very difficult. If somebody's, you know, calling, if somebody's saying something negative to you, it's very difficult to imagine there's a mantra. So whole idea, you know, just, you know, like to just on how to be, you know, how to, as a tabaram, means just pure, just, you know, pure. So anyway, so now pure dharma, so it's, you know, easy to say in word, you know, just a positive thought, positive, it's easy to say, you know, how to develop that, not easy, and how to maintain that is not easy, and especially when you are facing difficulty, how to maintain that, that's much more difficult. So because of that, familiarization is needed. And because of that, meditation becomes important. You know, not meditate, so then not easy to remember. Not easy to remember, so then, you know, easy to apply. So, chuyennamda dhubha shik machuna, machi sunjish deva dhubha tans. Just, machi sunjish deva dhubha tans. Dunga sewa tamas chambaniyo. Considering, considering or relief from the problem, this is most important than, this is most important, you know, than thinking something good, you know. Or getting something is much more important than thinking good. If we spend our life like that, you know, or some kind of relief, so I really don't like that person, I should get divorced, you know, so then you get married again, you know, so I should, all this, you know, like that, seeking temporary relief. Nothing bad. It's not saying it's bad, but just doing that, just seeking temporary relief, and just thinking about what to get. That's not good enough. On top of that, we need to think good, think something good. You know, so much emphasis has been put on that, especially in developing country. You know, getting something is more important than, you know, thinking good. Or loving kindness, you know, like that's kind of like compassion, you know, doesn't make money, so no problem, you know. So that's something's lacking, I think, you know, the looking inside. So that's pure, I think, pure dhamma. So now, pure means not mixed. You can read, same time you can think, oh, thinking something negative or something, somebody else you can think, you know. We can build whole house by reciting mantra. So if you want to build something, some house, if you are planning something, you can make whole your schedule, just say, oh, mani, 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 mani. You can, the word can say, oh, mani, mani, but your mind is thinking, oh, I'm going to do this tomorrow, do that, do that, do that. And at the end of the mantra, your whole day schedule is set up. It's already finished. When you think about something, you can't do that. You can't do that. When you're thinking about something, you can't do that, you know. You can do prostration, you can go around the stupa, still thinking, you know, something negative, you know, you can go to, but when you think something good, you can't think negative. Because the mind, there's two different, positive and negative mind can arise simultaneously, that's the nature, you know. So now, we understand what pure dharma really means, pure dharma. So it means, this all, you know, being present. Being present, that's exactly what it means, being present. Nothing else. You know? So, somebody to know, like, seeking temporary relief. Animals does that too. When they get very hot, they go under the tree. When they've been eaten by all these kind of bugs, they jump into water to protect themselves. No university, no education, no Dharma center, no initiation center. So no school, no government, they also know. Seeking temporary relief, they also know, you know, that they have to be educated. Getting, you know, wanting something doesn't need education, because, you know, animal also knows, you know. So their karma produced them, you know, to reach higher level than they have long neck, you know, to dig the ground, they have trust to dig ground. So it's all, you know, so the karma takes care of them how to survive very well. You know, they then seeking temporary relief and getting something, the animal does that. You know, what they cannot do, they cannot think good. There's a big difference between animal and human. Human can think, they cannot think. They cannot motivate. So there are this, you know, pure dhamma. Chida lobji le, chida langbu, langbu je, chida langbu, chunsab khani, chungbayi, zalo kamga lani, ini chaju ne, nyeba chuba me ba nuwa da, chove jiden dinen de wat nanda shizong shizos. Probably cow, you know, seeking grass. Then probably like too much focus on the grass, you know, that is what we want, you know. And not probably going to eating grass, going there, then it was under, you know, the very edge of the, how you say, yeah, then going there, you know, this grass, then all of a sudden kind of falls, you know. So, thinking good, nobody going to kind of fall from the cliff. Nobody going to fall from the cliff if you think good, no. But looking good, looking something, seeking temporary relief, seeking, always, you know, that it could be like that, you know, but not that, but it could be like that, you know. Then it goes way down, then you can't think, so then it's overwhelmed, you know, then you know, then it's very difficult to help because, you know, there's nothing to really help. If you've been thinking about some mental, some doing some mental exercise, that's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that. Oh. Well, this is just example, okay? So, we didn't want to do that. She's So that really dharma, that's why I said last Sunday that everybody should learn kitchen dharma. First, dharma should begin from kitchens, you know, kitchen dharma. So dealing in the kitchens, you know. So that's what I'm saying. There's so much the ways we lose our happiness in the kitchen. Just rooming around the kitchens, you know, seeing things, you know. So if you're waking up all the time, you're waking up quite early morning doing your meditations, you know. One day you wake up a little late and you, like, somehow, my point is, you know, how to minimize feeling bad about yourself. How to minimize that, you know, how to minimize, you know? Always think there's opportunities. Always think there's opportunity to do good, you know. Not because of yesterday there will be no opportunities. So, okay, now if you act like this, if you throw this glass on the floor, it will break. If you act like whatever happened yesterday, if you act like that, you know, so then it's break. So then it's, you know, there's no way to fix. So my point is, utilizing, reciting prayer, doing meditations, and to minimize. Has a feeling bad about it. When I say power of meditation is reduce the gundam nimochunga, the power of meditation is to reduce negative minds. That's what I'm trying to say. The power of meditation is to minimize feeling bad about yourself. No, you don't have to feel bad about yourself. You can progress. You can make progress. No. If you're really feeling about something bad, if you're really feeling about bad or something bad, then, you know, this feeling is not good. Then we should not repeat. Not because of the Buddhism, not because of the Namrim teachings, you know, because of your own sake of your own happiness, we should not repeat. That's called purifications. That's called purification. You know? So it's important as a living person. You know, it's a living process, important throughout the day, how to minimize, you know, like, ill-feel towards you, towards anybody else, you know. And if the little things that bothers, you know, so there needs to be more wisdom be needed, you know, so. You know, just examples. Chirishe, tetabhi chirrubhata, chepadu tenshi lamrubhani, te kaya, te kangrurungi, Mishra Vengashi Vinyana, we talk with this. So now, thinking about developing loving kindness, compassion, tolerance, you know, being a decent person, good persons. All this can be done only because of this human form. Because lack of this human form, look at this, you know, there's certain animals, they are very smart. You can teach them, you know. So certain birds, they can learn certain words, you know, but they can motivate themselves. They cannot motivate. So because of that, you know, there are much more, number-wise, the animal is far more bigger than human beings. Humans, very small compared to animals on this planet. Humans is like small. Animals, huge. No, so now slowly, so now scientists are there finding out, oh, animals contribute for environment. If there's no animals, some animals think this world is not going to survive. Because they are a bigger portion of the known beings in the universe. We are just small. So there's so many different ways they contribute. They've been contributing to the environment. I think millions and millions of years, you know, they can be released, then ghosts, then they come new pages, you know. So the lack of this body, so that's one, you know, this is exactly how to think this life is meaningful. You know. Meaningful in the sense that you can think something good. It's not talking about building a house, it's not talking about cooking food for 100 people. It's that it's meaningful because you can think something good, you can motivate yourself, something that other physically, they're so much, they're physically like much more powerful than us in other in our realms. There are certain species much more powerful than ourselves physically. Mentally, human is the only one, you know, who's capable, you know, to think. Besides the human, you know, and other animals cannot, you know, motivate themselves. So that's, in that sense, this life is precious. Meaningful. Okay, meaningful in the sense that we can think something good. Now each one of us has responsibility how to get this message across to secular way to your friend, you know, your neighbors, you know, friends. The meaningful, you know, like, is there anything that can contribute to this which has been taught? According to Lama Tsongkhapa, 650, according to this book, 650 years ago. According to Buddhism, 500 years ago. So how we can, you know, get this message close to, you know, border, the people, the, like more people, how to reach that. Maybe children, no? True, children. Rather than, you know, like teaching them something like, now, in the very young kids, you know, so they are kids, you know. So I don't think they need religion. They don't need religion. They just have to be kids. You know, they just enjoy, they're just growing up, you know. So then I heard, like, one of our members, when she was young, so now that's probably like talking about 40, more than 40 years ago, so now, you know. I say maybe that you are coming here, so maybe you can, you know, maybe contribute a little bit from learning to your kids, you know, meaningful life, and precious is not based on what other kids tell you in the school. You know, it's very much just hard to, you know. So it's kind of sometimes kind of heartbreaking, you know, to hear that kind of bullying at the school. You know, so like the kids ask you. Probably say some house according to my friend when she was young. So, what is God? She has no clue. And they make fun on that. Then they pick on her. They pick on her. Then make fun. You know, she is very like sincere. You know, kids, you know, they are very pure. Their heart is pure. Generally speaking, all the kids. So then, she went to her mom. She asked, you know, her mom is not very religious. Then her mother told her, teacher, then the God, the Jesus, you know, the teacher. Then that's only she knows. Then she went back, then the kids are asking her again. And she says, teacher. Oh, then they laugh and they make really fun. Then they think she's kind of like, you know, evil. Or like saying Jesus is a teacher instead of God. So you know, these things should not happen in the school with the young kids. You know, I'm not sure how they learn. Maybe their parent is encouraging them to do something like that. Hard to say. Anyways, this is, you know, kids. So kids are suffering in this world, you know, because of that. So maybe here, you know, maybe, you know, having contact with the Lama Tsongkhapa books, maybe you can learn something from here. Maybe, you know, help your kids, you know, maybe think, you know, the precious is because, you know, of the, not what you hear from people. Is, you know, okay. So the time is over. So it's okay. I think we read 4 lines. So now next Wednesday I'm going to read fast because now I already, because this is the point, this whole point, you know, how to think this life is meaningful. That's the whole point. So I think it's very important, you know. So then next, then probably I'll read only four lines. That's good. So, you know, so probably I'll, did you say they go? Yeah, thank you.